Today on Real Life Radio.
It's funny because if you just think of your logic and reason for a second, listen, you are actually judging what is right or wrong based upon a profound moral rudder in your soul. I ask you this question. If you are a byproduct of evolutionary thought, then where did that moral rudder come from? And why is it universal?
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, there's nothing like a good story, and it's even better to have access to the greatest story ever told in the pages of the Bible. Now, the new year, 2024, is right around the corner, and what could be better than to read the Bible together? The one-year Bible offers the experience of the entire Bible in one unforgettable year, in as little as 15 minutes a day. The one-year Bible is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, With Hearts on Fire. This series is one that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke the physician could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 24, we'll consider what makes us a true believer. You see, faith and reason, they go together. Without faith, we eventually give up on life, but having faith in faith alone will only lead us to frustration. Reason, on the other hand, is our way of thinking, but reason alone doesn't make us a true follower of Jesus Christ. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that faith in God and Christ is the only thing that will save us. The believer's faith is founded on the Bible of the one true God. Now, with his message called With Hearts on Fire, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Last week together, it was eyes wide open, and now it's hearts on fire. Why? Verse 36 says, Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, Peace to you. And they were terrified and frightened. And supposing that they had seen a spirit or a ghost, he said to them, Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, Have you any food here? And so they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and he ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45, and he opened their understanding and or that they might comprehend the scriptures. And then he said to them, Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all generations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. What an amazing moment of challenge. Jesus is talking about life in the midst of death. Think about that for a second. When you read the Bible from cover to cover, you got to admit that it's a book of life. He's all about life. God says, the scriptures announce, choose life, says the Lord. I heard something this week that caused me to put it in my notes for today, and that is that this man was talking about how people put so much effort into either writing down or making plans for their own funeral. They'll have even attorneys write things up for their funeral. Or they'll say, make sure that this person sings at my funeral. Or this happens at my funeral. Or I want to go pick out my plot of land. Never get to walk around on it, but he's going to pick out a plot of land. Makes plans. I want my tombstone to say this. A lot of people plan more effectively for their death than they do for their entire lives. How to live life. The matter of life. It is absolutely certain, listen, it is absolutely certain that for the most enlightened believer in the room this morning to the most hardened atheist, know this, that death is only a momentary event for any of us as humans. We, for some reason, have concluded that if we don't believe in God, then death is the end all and it's over. It's the great equalizer. And yet that's not true. The Bible speaks about death, but it's only a transport. It's a portal into an entire different world, a spiritual world that encompasses, listen, it's far more advanced than this world. It's a world where things are both, in a sense, physical and spiritual, a perfect amalgamation of both, and it is eternal. The Bible speaks in Daniel chapter 12 and John chapter 5 that eternity is forever for the believer and for the non-believer. And if you read the fine print, it's heaven or hell, it's paradise or hot. But both subjects, both people living in those locations, one lives an eternal life and the other one lives an eternal death. But very, very conscious, very aware. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, that I have come that you may have life more abundantly. That is an overflowing of life. And so today you want to be very careful that you are not existing as a human being in a sense of robotic, in a sense of just being, as it were, programmed and mechanized for the day. This is what I do. This is who I am. It's pretty sad when you ask somebody, who are you? And they'll say, I'm an architect. Who are you? I'm a police officer. Or who are you? I'm a housewife. Or who are you? That's not who you are. That's what you do. It's a sad day in humanity when what you do begins to define who you are. The truth of the matter is, who are you? Whatever you do in life is just simply a way to either put food on the table or to fulfill the talents or the giftings that you have in life, or to bestow or to propagate a family. Fantastic, wonderful, but you are something altogether different. You are created in the image of God. You are somebody that Jesus Christ, as we looked at last week, went to the cross for, to forgive, to energize, and to give a real meaning to life. And so as Jesus now is appearing before his followers, we can learn a lot from this. It's pretty fun stuff, to be honest with you. In verses 36 to 40, jot it down. It's point number one, with hearts on fire. We're looking at faith and reason. Faith and reason come together in verses 36 to 40 in a very powerful way. Now understand this, that faith, and by the way, all of us exercise faith. We had a moment ago the baby dedication, and those parents are committed to trusting God to raise that child up, to give them insight and understanding. We prayed for Alex as he heads off on his deployment. He's going to exercise faith in the things that the United States taxpayer has provided for him to do his job. But in all these things, we need to understand that faith is vitally essential to the living of life. Every human being exercises some form of faith. Some people have faith in their own sustenance or their own ability. Some people have faith in God. Some people have some exercise of faith in some other things. Some people have faith in government. What a pathetic thing to have faith in. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying it to be extremely accurate. God help us as a nation where we are running headlong for the propaganda to put faith in government. We were never to put faith in government. We're to put faith in God. God's the one who says, I preside over the nations of the earth. Very important thing. Faith and reason, they've got to come together. Number one, jot it down. It's found right here in verse 36. Reason alone cannot satisfy. You need to mark that down. I want you to be thinking about that. Reason alone cannot satisfy. Reason by itself will never bring deep satisfaction. Watch this. It says in verse 36, now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and he said to them, peace to you. Let's read it backwards this way. Jesus had to say peace to them. Why? Because their hair stood straight up. They're freaking out. He says, peace, calm, easy. Peace to you. Why are they freaking out? Because the Greek word here implies that he immediately appeared with them. No doors, no windows. Whoosh, oh, Jesus is there. When did he come? When they were talking about all these things, what things? Oh, it's an amazing moment. Remember last time together, the two on the Emmaus Road, they left their home in Emmaus, though it was late at night. They ran back to Jerusalem and said, we've seen Jesus. We talked to him. And when he broke open the bread and began to pass the bread out among us, we saw that it was him. And he vanished from our sight. And the others said, you know what? These women earlier today, these women over here in the corner, they were telling us that angels appeared to them at the tomb and said that Jesus had been risen from the dead. Others said that they ran in there, Peter and John, they're over here. They ran inside the tomb, and it was just as the women said, they were gone. There was an earthquake. Somebody said an angel rolled back the stone and sat on it. All of these rumors are flying around Jerusalem now. Now it's late in the evening. Everybody's talking. Can you imagine? Think about it. This is the biggest news, not only in Jerusalem, but in the Roman Empire. There's probably the sound of horses' hooves going down the cobblestone streets of Jerusalem. Everybody's probably talking. The tomb's empty. Wonder what happened. And think of all the conspiracy thoughts. Somebody must have stolen his body. Maybe this is a prank. Maybe somebody's trying to punk us. What's going on? Think about all of the talk. Maybe Rome did it. No, they wouldn't do that. They set the seal. They can't break the seal. Then maybe the disciples did it. And they said, wait a minute, we're standing right here. We didn't do it. We're freaking out too. All of the talk going on, Jesus is missing. But we've got these rumors and we have a few eyewitnesses. And frankly, we don't know if we should believe them or not. Reason alone cannot satisfy. And so understand this. The Bible says in Psalm 14, verse 1, that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. There cannot be a God. There cannot be a God. Why? Well, because there's wars. Because there's abuse of children. There cannot be a God. It's funny because if you just think of your logic and reason for a second, listen, you are actually judging what is right or wrong based upon a profound moral rudder in your soul. I ask you this question. If you are a byproduct of evolutionary thought, then where did that moral rudder come from? And why is it universal? And also this, for you to say that's wrong is to say that you know better. And then for you to say, I will never believe in God. Why? Because where was he when, fill in the blank. You don't even realize that by your declaration, you are exercising tremendous faith in criticizing God. I don't believe that God exists. Why? Because where was he when? And you are blaming him for not rescuing you in your moment of challenge, right? Think about it. Reason.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
They're all discussing the things that have happened, but there's no peace. They have no calm. And if they had all the reason alone in the world, they still would not have satisfaction. You may be able to your satisfaction, explain away everything. And when you're done, listen, when you're done explaining why you think, based upon your own heart, that there is no God, what happens at the end of the day? You sit at the end of the day and you are miserable, lonely, empty, and fearful of the end. Because you've tried to convince yourself there's no God, when in reality, he exists. It's a strange thing that we humans argue with ourselves. It is possible that we don't know everything. It's very possible that reason alone, and we know this, people will say, well, I'm an analytical person, and I don't give away my use of, what's the title of the message? Hearts on Fire. Well, I don't give away my heart to anything that cannot be proven scientifically. Really? Well, then what is it that you believe in? And that's where the fun begins. I believe in aliens. I thought you said science. I believe in evolution. I thought you said science. Interesting. We have a bias. And so Jesus, all of a sudden, appears to them in an instant. Also this, regarding reason alone cannot satisfy, because you can try to figure out what's going on and still not have satisfaction of soul. Reason and faith have got to somehow meet. And check this out. Faith is not enough. You say, are you really saying what I'm thinking you're saying? Oh, I'm saying it loud and clear. I even put it on the screen for you. Faith is not enough. So what do you mean by that? Look at verse 37. But they were terrified. and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Faith's not enough. Have you ever had somebody say, listen, this is dangerous. This is a heresy that's out there. I've seen it on so-called Christian television. I've heard this said. If you just have enough faith, you'll get rich. If you just have enough faith, you'll get healed or you'll get better or you'll get whatever. You know that's heresy. How about this one? This is the worst of all. Just have faith in faith. I've seen a bumper sticker say that. Do you know that's pure heresy? Faith is not enough. Listen, we need to finish the statement or the question or the comment. Faith in what is the issue? You can have all the faith in faith and still wind up being a person without any answers in life. What is your faith in? Whom is your faith in? You and I put our faith in things all the time, but listen, that I believe is God just trying to show us how natural faith is to the human. God is trying to tell us, and so it should be regarding your faith in me. When I say faith is not enough, faith is ridiculous unless Jesus Christ is your object of faith. Oh yeah? Why do you say that? Because the Bible is written all about Jesus. It's come to pass, and on top of the fact that he said, I'm going to die in Jerusalem, I'm going to be crucified, 3 days later, resurrected from the dead, keep your eye on the ball. Watch what happens. Somebody made a joke and said, you know, Joseph of Arimathea, his tomb, it was very, very expensive, it's very large. And Nicodemus come, you know, can we borrow your tomb? Can you imagine? And the answers to him, don't worry, it's only for the weekend. I love that. You need my tomb. It's just for the weekend. Jesus rose from the grave. Absolutely drives the world crazy. He's alive. He's real. Mention some other name and people just walk away laughing or paying no attention. You mention the name of Jesus and then them fighting words. Jesus says, if a man dies believing in me, yet shall he live. Jesus also said, if you deny me before my Father, I've got to deny you before, I reverse that around. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. That's controversial. That is divisive. The Bible says there's no other name under man given among us that we must be saved, and that name we must bow down to. Jesus. And then the ACLU says, City Council, we will sue you if you don't delete Jesus from your prayer. Well, I would not delete it. I would say, come on. I mean, think about it. Why? The very fact that it gets your blood going, Jesus does, makes you ought to step back and consider some things. Like in jolly old England, they would say, why do you have your knickers in a wad? Isn't that a great word? I mean, that sounds uncomfortable. Why do doubts arise in your heart? Jesus is standing in the midst of them. Peter said in 2 Peter 1:16, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables. This is not some story we've made up. When we made known to you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. That is awesome. John Chapter 1, verse 14, John says, and the Word became flesh, that's Jesus, and he lived among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then thirdly this, faith and reason must agree. How do you know, listen, church, how do you know in what you are believing in is worthy of your faith and of your belief? Because faith and reason must agree. This is what's fun about being a Christian. I challenge you to find any other faith on the planet that is open and honest and reasonable, and it is worthy of your faith than Christianity. It makes absolute perfect sense. You see, the reason why people reject being a Christian is not because it's not true. It's because they don't want that truth in their life. Isn't that what they told Jesus? We will not have this man to rule over us. They didn't say he wasn't worthy of leading. They said, we don't want him. Faith and reason must agree for life to be true. Ivor Powell, in his great commentary, says this, and I quote, "When Jesus said in verse 39, 'Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I, handle me and see,' these witnesses were not invited to hold a sunbeam in their hands or caress some dreamy thought. Their risen master stood before them tangible, fleshy, and more alive than ever." Isn't that a great statement? Jesus has touched me. And the proof is faith and reason coming together as Jesus says, "Look at my hands and my feet." I love that. In 1 John chapter 1, John said to the church, he said, "You know what? This Jesus, we've handled him. We've touched him. We've talked to him. We've seen him." They could say we ate with him. There's a profound spiritual universe that exists, my friends. Listen, that exists outside of our natural awareness. Don't be so blind as to think. We need to wake up to the fact that everything that you and I do in life hints about the spiritual realm in which we live in. And Jesus' announcement is, "Look at my hands and my feet." Why is he saying that? "Look at the holes in my hands and my feet." Standing before them is a resurrected Christ in what is a body raised from the dead, but he's able to appear and disappear, which radical and bizarre is unexplainable in our modern understanding of physics. You got to understand something. God's the creator of all science. He's not subject to the science he creates. Now, you and I are. Don't try this here, but if you went to this building and jumped off, you would not go up. You go down. Don't do that here. But you would go down because the laws of God are in effect. God's not subject to something he's made. When he breaks that realm, it's called a miracle. Reason says God can't do that. But if you think a little harder and understand who he is, he can do anything he wants. And Jesus appears to them. Wouldn't you love to have been there? "Oh yeah, we saw Jesus." And then, whoosh! And they're like, completely blown away. And he says, "Look at my hands." By the way, you know in John's gospel, this is the moment also that John's gospel records the fact that Thomas was there. This is the account in John's gospel when Jesus says, "Thomas, put your fingers through the holes in my hands and my feet." What a moment that must have been. My friends, I don't know this to be a fact. I have to take it by faith. But physicists will tell us that this podium made out of wood, if you were to reduce the space between the molecules of wood, it would be a very tiny, maybe an inch, maybe a half inch tall. So what did you just say? Physicists say there's more space in between this wood than there is wood. Don't know. Sounds kooky to me, but it's real science. I have to take that by faith. Are you with me? The air you're breathing, didn't think about it, did you? Now you're thinking about it. Invisible. It's invisible. Are these not hints that God is saying, "I live in a world that you're not too familiar with, Jack"? Jesus appears. "Touch my hands, touch my feet, know me," which I don't want to freak you out, but this is pretty freaky. The Bible says in Leviticus 17:11 that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it upon the altar to make atonement for your sins, for it is the blood that makes atonement for your soul. Jesus is resurrected. He says to them, "Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and what?" No, bone. He didn't say blood. This is wild. Is Jesus, the Bible say, our high priest? Does not the Bible say, Book of Hebrews and other places, that Jesus would present his blood on the altar before the throne of God forever and eternity? Yes. By the way, that's how secure your salvation is. It's secured in heaven. He put his blood on the altar in heaven.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called With Hearts on Fire. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, with January right around the corner, I got to tell you, we're excited to once again be going through the one-year Bible together as a congregation, and we're hoping you'll join us. This last year has not been an easy one. The wars in Israel and Ukraine, with rumors of war on the horizon, health epidemics, and the ever-rising cost of living. That's just to name a few. So here's an idea. Why don't we nourish our spiritual growth together? The One-Year Bible lays out a simple plan of what to read and when by dividing God's Word into daily readings in as little as 15 minutes a day. Don't worry if you miss a day or two or three or even a week. Just begin again at that current day so that we're all on the same page. Our God is still on the move in miraculous ways and wants us to look forward to the new year. Reading the scriptures together, it's an unforgettable devotional experience and reminds you that you are not alone. The One-Year Bible is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.